We are constantly monitoring the impact and effect of drought across the country and in the Midwest in particular. And as counties basically either by virtue of a governor's request or by virtue of being on the drought monitor for a considerable period of time, we automatically designate them as primary disaster counties, and then the contiguous counties surrounding it also get included. And what this does is it makes emergency loan assistance available for those who are eligible in those counties, and it also triggers sister agencies in the federal government, like the Small Business Administration, in triggering their disaster loan program and emergency loan program assistance as well.
So how many counties in Illinois now have this disaster status?
All of your counties have now been declared primary disaster areas for drought. So basically the entire state now is included with these additional 14 that we're announcing.
Illinois now having every single county have this status, is Illinois being especially affected?
I would say Illinois and Indiana and Ohio are states that have been severely impacted. When you look at the number of counties in those states that have been on the drought monitor for a considerable period of time, it is obvious that this has hit those states very hard. Having said that, there are states like Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas who not only have had a problem this year, but had problems in the past. And so it's a continuation of a drought situation for them. And it just it depends. In Iowa, some parts of Iowa have been hit very, very hard, and other parts were fortunate and were not impacted as severely.
Are you able to predict at all as to how long these counties will remain in this disaster status?
No, I think it just depends on weather patterns. And you know, we've had sporadic rains during the month of August, which have been helpful to some producers and their bean crops. Probably not a whole lot of help for the corn crop, which is why we are constantly looking for ways in which we can provide help and assistance, not just to crop producers, but also livestock producers. And now that we've used virtually all of our tools in the immediate concerns, disaster loan assistance, opening up CRP land, more flexibility with our conservation programs, we're now beginning to ask the question, what is the long term? What is likely going to be the long term impact of this drought, and how can we best prepare for what may occur next year as a result? You know, part of this is also complicated by the fact that the House of Representatives has not yet finished its work on the Food, Farm, and Jobs bill, and so there's a lot of uncertainty about what the farm programs are actually going to be next year. Which is why the President and I have been calling on the House to finish its work in September and get that bill to the President's desk before September 30th.
There seems to be a worry that the drought will affect food prices, that they'll go up. Is that something that's happening or that we should be worried about?
Well, I think it's important to point out that if food prices are rising now, it's not because of the drought, that the food inflation rate for this year was actually lower than it was last year at this time. And it's also, I think, important to point out that certain the livestock, the pork, the beef, poultry might actually be less expensive in the short term because people are liquidating the size of their operations or reducing the size of their operations, which creates for a short period of time a surplus of product, which should lower prices. Obviously, we'll be faced with some increased prices in the future, but we're only expecting food inflation to be somewhere between 3% and 4% next year. And to give you a sense of this historical perspective, food inflation generally is in the neighborhood of 3%. So we're not talking about a significant increase in food costs as a result of the drought. And the reason being that farmers get so little of the food dollar to begin with. They only get 14 cents of every food dollar that goes to a grocery store on average. And so because they get so little of it, commodity prices can go up quite a bit and still not have that much of a profound impact on overall food costs.
I'm speaking with Tom Vilsack. He's the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary. And we're talking about the effects the drought is having in Illinois, where every single county is now considered a primary disaster area because of the lack of rainfall. Can you tell us what effect the drought is having on our exports? Obviously, corn's a big one for us.
Well, that's a good question. And I think basically the market, all markets are basically adjusting to the reality of having a crop that is less than anticipated. The interesting thing about the crop is that even with the drought, based on current estimates, we're looking at almost 11 billion bushels of corn being produced in the United States, which would put it in the top 10 corn crops in the history of the country. Having said that, there's a lot of demand for the crop, and so what we're seeing is the market's adjusting. Livestock feed, we now anticipate, will probably use 750 million fewer bushels than we anticipated just 2 months ago to feed livestock. We think that the exports will likely be down by roughly 600 million bushels than what we expected just 2 months ago, even though exports generally in agriculture will still be strong because we're continuing to sell a good deal of protein around the world. So we'd expect perhaps the second best export year we've ever had. And we also expect that ethanol production, as we see some of the ethanol producers are beginning to ramp down their production, and we would expect to use probably 500 million bushels fewer bushels of corn in ethanol production, so nearly 2 billion bushels fewer than anticipated just 2 months ago. And so the market is already adjusting, and we're seeing that in some of the prices for corn beginning to ratchet down after we gave our crop report and we let folks know that the market is adjusting.
What does this mean for the average Illinois resident, and is there anything we can do to combat the effects of living in a state that is hurting from the lack of rainfall?
Well, I think they first of all need to be sensitive to their friends and neighbors who live in rural areas who depend on a crop for their livelihood and basically understand that this is a tough and stressful time for farmers and ranchers around the country. You know, as we talked about before, they may see lower food costs for chicken and for beef and for pork in the short term, and they may see a little slightly higher increased cost next year in part because of the drought. There is an effort by some to amend the renewable fuel standard, and it's important to note that that biofuel industry in the United States is giving consumers in Illinois and across the country a break at the pump. As we see rising gas prices, they would be a lot higher were it not for the biofuel industry, anywhere from 25 cents a gallon, one study suggests, to perhaps as much as $1.37 less per gallon, based on another study I've seen. So they're getting a benefit to the pump, and we obviously don't want to interfere with that because we're all concerned about making sure that gas prices are reasonable.
There's been some conflicting information, it seems, about the context of this all and how bad the drought really is. Can you give us some sort of idea here as to when the last time Illinois was facing a drought that was this severe?
Well, I don't think that probably if we go back to 1988, I don't know that necessarily impacted and affected the entire state as severely as this drought. You could go back to the 1950s, 52 and 54, we had pretty widespread drought, or back in the 1930s. But the one big difference is crop insurance. And another big difference is that farmers have used new technologies, both in terms of the seed technology and also in terms of planting, that have given us an opportunity for having a larger crop than we would otherwise have had. So it's, you know, it's a tough situation. We have, fortunately, crop insurance, and we've got new technologies, but it's still stressful, and obviously we're going to continue to do everything we can to help and support these folks, but our tools are limited, which is why we continue to call on the House and Congress to finish its work on the Food, Farm, and Jobs Bill.